आकाशवाणी प्रेजेंट्स मॉर्निंग न्यूज। गुड मॉर्निंग, आई एम अभिषेक मुखोपाध्याय। द हेडलाइंस। कैंपेनिंग फॉर असेंबली इलेक्शंस इन तमिलनाडु एंड फर्स्ट फेज इन वेस्ट बंगाल एंड्स दिस इवनिंग। साउथ कोरियन प्रेसिडेंट ई जे म्यूंग एश्योर्स ऑफ बिकमिंग मोस्ट रिलायबल पार्टनर फॉर इंडियाज विजन ऑफ विकसित भारत By 2047, India and United States begin fresh round of negotiations to finalize trade deal. Government approves export of additional 25 lakh metric tons of wheat to support farmers. Results for JEE Main 2026 examinations announced. FSSAI bans use of ashwagandha leaves in food products. And in IPL cricket, Mumbai Indians beat Gujarat Titans by 99 runs. Campaigning for assembly elections in Tamil Nadu and first phase in West Bengal will end this evening. Single-phase polling in Tamil Nadu and first phase of voting in West Bengal is scheduled for the 23rd of April. The second phase of polling in West Bengal will be conducted on the 29th of April, with the counting of votes for all polling states and union territories to take place on the 4th of May. In West Bengal, major political parties are making their last push before 152 constituencies in 16 districts head to the polls on Thursday. BJP leader and Union Home Minister Amit Shah will address public rallies in Siliguri, West Bardhaman, West Mednipur and East Mednipur districts in support of party candidates today. Trinamool Congress Chief Mamata Banerjee will address public rallies in Holdia of Purbo Mednipur, Barakpur and Jagaddol of North 24 Porgonas district and Jorashanko of Kolkata in support of party candidates. Political leaders of other parties also expected to join public meetings today. Meanwhile, Chief Election Commissioner Gyanesh Kumar has asserted that the Election Commission will leave no stone unturned in holding free, fair and transparent polls in West Bengal. Interacting with officials involved in poll management, the CEC said the elections will be fear-free, violence-free and intimidation-free. In Tamil Nadu, a total of 5,73,43,291 voters will elect their representatives for 234 constituencies in a single-phase polling on Thursday. All major political parties will campaign today to woo the voters as the campaigning ends this evening. We have more from a correspondent.
With the ongoing campaigning and theatrics of all sorts, this election will be a deciding factor, since it looks like a three-cornered contest at large and also a four or five contests in some constituencies. Every election is an evaluation of the governance, and the voters' choice is to pick up whoever they want. The raging heat of summer is also throwing a challenge to both the campaigners and the voters as curtains come down for electioneering today. Joy, Akashwani reporting from Chennai.
In a series of constituency profiles, today we take a look at the Tiruchirappalli, which is an important landmark in the state. The district has 9 assembly constituencies. We have a report.
Tiruchirappalli has many important landmarks, including the Uchuppalaya Temple, Sri Rangam Ranganatha Temple, a lot of renowned educational institutions and old churches. River Kaveri is an irrigational source for this district. The constituency was formed after delimitation in 2011. The incumbent is Iniko Irudeyaraj of the DMK. He is seeking re-election from here for the second time. He defeated Vellamandi Nadarajan, a former minister of the IADMK, by a margin of 53,797 votes in the last election in 2021. TVK founder actor Vijay is a new entrant to the state politics and is contesting in Tiruchi East and Perambur. The AIADMK contestant is K. Rajashekaran. AIADMK has won the constituency twice and DMK won the constituency once. Joy, Akashwani reporting from Chennai.
President Draupadi Murmu hosted a banquet in the honor of a South Korean counterpart, Lee Jae-myung, at Rashtrapati Bhavan last night. During the banquet, President Lee said the Republic of Korea has become a mutually beneficial partner in opening a new future together with India. He said India is making a quantum leap towards a golden age under Prime Minister Modi's vision of a developed India 2047. Mr. Lee said during his meeting with Mr. Modi, they agreed that Korea and India are optimal partners in many aspects and will become the most reliable partner for the realization of India's vision of 2047. President Moon also said that India has skill, speed and scale, while Korea has expertise in high-tech manufacturing, and by combining the strengths, numerous opportunities can be created for the youth of both nations. Receiving a Korean counterpart, the president said India and Korea should explore opportunities for cooperation in green and clean energy as well as other climate technologies to secure a sustainable future for humanity. India and South Korea have emphasized enhancing economic cooperation during the talks between Prime Minister Narendra Modi and the visiting president of South Korea, Lee Jae-myung. Briefing the media after the bilateral talks in New Delhi yesterday, Secretary East in the MEA, P. Kumaran, said that the two leaders reviewed the overall progress in the India-Korea Special Strategic Partnership.
Both sides have decided to enhance economic cooperation, and the new areas of cooperation include shipbuilding, artificial intelligence, semiconductors, critical minerals, supply chain resilience, and diversification. The two sides also decided to further strengthen people-to-people ties. There was an alignment of views on several regional and global issues of interest to both sides, particularly in the Indo-Pacific.
Talking about defense cooperation, Mr. Kumaran said that government is looking forward to collaborate in terms of procurement of more kinds of defense hardware, telecom equipment and cyber security with South Korea. India and the United States began a fresh round of trade negotiations in Washington, aiming at giving a final shape to the much-awaited trade deal between the two countries. An Indian trade delegation will visit Washington this week. In a social media post, U.S. Ambassador to India Sergio Gore shared this information. He termed the visit as a great step to finalize the bilateral trade deal. He called it a win-win development for both nations. Meanwhile, Union Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal said government has almost finalized the first tranche of bilateral trade agreement with the US. Talking to reporters in New Delhi yesterday, Mr. Goyal said the government is trying to work out what would be the mechanism on which India would get preferential access in the US markets compared to the country's competitors.
Well, we have almost finalized our free trade agreement, the first tranche of the bilateral trade agreement with them. We are trying to close the T's and dots on that and work out what would be the mechanism by which India can get a preferential access, market access in the US market compared to our competitors. The team will be discussing these aspects while they are in Washington.
Government has approved the export of an additional 25 lakh metric tons LMT of wheat to support farmers and maintain stability in domestic markets. The decision follows a review of production estimates, stock availability and price trends. The Union Ministry of Consumer Affairs, Food and Public Distribution said wheat acreage during the Rabi 2026 season has risen to over 334 lakh hectares compared to over 328 lakh hectares last year. It said the increase reflects growing farmer confidence backed by an assured minimum support price and strong procurement systems. This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates around the clock, follow us on X handle at EIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsoneir.gov.in and download News on EIR app. President Draupadi Murmu will visit Rourkela in Odisha today to inaugurate a series of key development projects. The president is scheduled to arrive in the Steel City at around 11 this morning. She will inaugurate the Rourkela 1 project at Civil Township, which includes an integrated command and control center, a tribal museum and an auditorium. She will also virtually inaugurate a mega recreational park at Koyal Nagar and a planetarium at Chend Colony. Elaborate arrangements have been made by the district administration and the Rourkela Municipal Corporation. Vice President C.P. Radhakrishnan will address civil servants on the 18th Civil Services Day in New Delhi today. The theme for this year's event is Viksit Bharat, Citizen-Centric Governance and Development at the Last Mile. The Personnel, Public Grievances and Pensions Ministry said that the Civil Services Day is observed annually as an occasion for the civil servants across India to rededicate themselves to the cause of citizens and renew their commitment to public service and excellence in their work. The National Testing Agency NTA has released the results for JEE Main Session 2. A total of 2,50,182 aspirants have qualified for JEE Advanced. A total of 10,34,330 candidates appeared in Session 2 of the exam conducted this month. The scores or results of the exam are computed using the final answer keys released by the NTA yesterday. The exam body said that those candidates who appeared in both the sessions of the examination, the best NTA score of both the sessions has been declared. The Food Safety and Standards Authority of India, FSSAI, has directed that the use of ashwagandha leaves in crude or extract form is not permitted under existing regulations. In an advisory, FSSAI reiterated that food business operators must ensure that only ashwagandha's roots and its extract are used in the products in compliance with prescribed limits. The authority further informed that the Ministry of Ayush has also directed manufacturers to restrict usage to only ashwagandha roots and their extracts. Minister for Communications Jyotiraditya Sindhya said India Post has achieved a record revenue of 15,296 crore in the financial year 2025-26, registering a robust growth of 16% over the previous fiscal. Presiding over the annual business meet in New Delhi yesterday, the minister said the achievement marks a significant milestone in the department's transformation from a traditional cost center into a revenue-driven and citizen-centric organization. Indian Railways has clarified that persons with disabilities, PWDs, can now travel in unreserved Divyangjan coaches of mail and express trains if they hold a valid unique disability ID, UDID card. The Minister of Railways informed that the PWDs carrying a valid UDID card issued by the Department of Empowerment of Persons with Disabilities or those eligible for concessional fares will be treated as valid passengers in designated coaches. All zonal railways have been instructed to implement the guidelines effectively. In IPL cricket, Mumbai Indians defeated Gujarat Titans by 99 runs in a league stage match at the Narendra Modi Stadium in Ahmedabad last night. Put into bat first, Mumbai Indians posted 199 runs for 5 wickets in 20 overs, riding on Tilak Varma's maiden unbeaten century in just 45 balls. In reply, Gujarat Titans were bundled out for 100 runs in 15.5 overs. Tilak Varma was adjudged player of the match. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Subhadra Ramachandran.
Thank you, Abhishek. Bilateral talks between India and South Korea in New Delhi is prominently covered by the dailies this morning. Chips to ships, Prime Minister maps India-South Korea partnership, leads the statesman. India-South Korea work to upgrade free trade deal, states Hindustan Times. Iran undecided on talks, Trump to keep blockade, leads the Hindu. Iran-US talks hang in balance amid tension, says the Asian Age. The Economic Times, in its editorial piece, proof of the pudding is in participation, writes that despite disruptions in Parliament over the Constitution, 131st Amendment Bill 2026, the political class seems aligned on expanding women's representation in politics. Yet, while legislative rhetoric has advanced, party-level practices remain resistant. Women now constitute nearly half the electorate. In several elections, they have actually outpaced male participation in voting. Yet, women account for only about 10% of candidates and about 14% of MPs, revealing persistent gap in representation. This suggests that the problem lies not only in the constitutional framework, something women's reservation seeks to address, but within the internal workings of political parties. Delhi rolls out new SOP for action against tree offences, reports Hindustan Times. And finally, Jhalmuri campaign. Prime Minister's 10 rupee snack racks up 190 million social views. Well, the Pioneer reports that Prime Minister Narendra Modi visit to Jhalmuri shop in West Bengal amid 4 public meetings on Sunday sparked an internet frenzy with 100 million views within 24 hours in Instagram and almost 90 million views on Facebook. And with that, it's back to you, Abhishek.
Thank you, Subhadra. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Campaigning for assembly elections in Tamil Nadu and first phase in West Bengal ends this evening. South Korean President Lee Jae-myung assures of becoming most reliable partner for India's vision of Viksit Bharat by 2047. India and United States begin fresh round of negotiations to finalize trade deal. Government approves export of additional 25 lakh metric tons of wheat to support farmers. Results for JEE Main 2026 examinations announced. FSSAI bans use of ashwagandha leaves in food products. And in IPL cricket, Mumbai Indians beat Gujarat Titans by 99 runs. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a nice day.